Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, hey, good morning and welcome to church as we celebrate 3 years as a church. It's kind of amazing, right? Let's give it up. It's really amazing what God has done just in 3 years, and one of the things we've learned through it all is that we're in it all, through every step, through everything that we've gone through every kind of obstacle that's been away, through every celebration that we've been able to celebrate, we've learned that we've always been better together. And today we're going to complete our sermon series entitled Better Together, and we're going to share a little bit about where we've come from and kind of where we're going as well. Because again, really anything that we've accomplished as this church is really that God has been able to work through us because we've been better together. So to start off, what I want to do is I kind of want to just get a little bit interactive with everybody. So don't fall asleep on me now. Don't go to sleep yet. Don't zone out yet, because I'm going to have everybody just stand up here in a second. But I'm going to kind of stand up in groups in a way. So here's what I want you to do. If you were part of Life Change Church before we launched, like you were part of our launch team, so maybe you came to like the small groups before we ever opened the doors to the public, what I want you to do right now is I want you to stand up. And some of the tech team right now is already standing. So if you were part of our, yep, so we got a couple of those. So you were part of our group when we were there. Yep. So before we opened the doors, these people were with us, right? There's just a small group of us. We had some time where we were kind of planning. So you guys really helped us kind of really dream about things. You helped us really pray for the future. You helped invite. So stay standing. You guys have to stay standing the whole time. I told you, don't zone out on me, because you guys did some incredible stuff. And when you look at it, it's just a few of us, but we were better together. There was just a few of us, but we were better together. You helped Life Change get better because we were together. So now I want you guys to continue standing, because it didn't just end there. There's some other people that joined you as well. So if you were part of us when we actually met down at 140 West Church Street, which was downtown Newark, and if you were part of us when we met down there, I want you to stand up. So there's another group, right? So you guys kind of joined in with that launch team, and you really helped us become better together. So if you're a part of this group, you probably remember some, if you think we have technical difficulties once in a while here, just let me tell you, it was insane down there, and I think it really can only be explained because I think the building may or may not have been possessed. It was a little weird, right? So you remember things about that. For you guys, you remember setting up and tearing down certain parts of the building. You remember all sorts of stuff that was going on down there, right? So you guys, though, joined the launch team, and you really made us better together. I want to continue on, and maybe you came with us when we moved to this building and we had one service. So if that was you, everybody still stay standing, but if that was you, you came to us when we moved into this building, really from the beginning, or when we are still at one service, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up now as well. All right, so another group came in, right? And what'd you guys do? You made us better together. Chances are you guys kind of remember jumping in here and looking and like seeing these this beautiful colored carpet, right? This carpet that was just so pretty and orange. And then it really matched what the chair and the seating arrangement, because we had these beautiful peach colored pews that really matched orange, right? It was just great to look at. So for you guys kind of looked at this building and saw beyond what you really experienced. You look at this building and saw beyond what we were experiencing there and what we could experience as well. And you jumped in with the group and you helped us become better together. And now there's a last group of you guys as well. You guys had jumped in when we kind of went to two services. So about 6 months, or maybe even your first time here today. But I want you guys to stand up as well. So everybody should be standing up at this point, right? You guys jumped in, and man, you have made us better together. And for some of you guys, you're kind of thinking like, man, I don't really know exactly where we're going, but I want to be a part of this, so I'm going to sign up for Life Group this week. I'm going to sign up to serve. I'm going to sign up I'm going to make a commitment just to attend more regularly. Right? But if you look around, right, we're better together. If you looked at our launch team, you're thinking like, man, how did they even make it? Because you all joined in, because everybody joined in, and we become better together. So before you sit down, turn around, give somebody a high five and say, better, we're better together. Cool. All right. Really, it's amazing what God's done in just the last 3 years. And it's all because of the truth that we're better together. And the truth is, we're just getting started. The plans, the vision for this church, the vision for where we're going, the dreams for the future will all happen together because we're better together. Again, last week, Daryl kind of spoke about discipleship. He talked about how our own spiritual growth, how our own personal growth, it happens when we're together. In fact, you can't have discipleship alone. And he went over the points of what it looks like to be a disciple. And each one pointed to the fact that you need somebody with you, to walk with you, so that you can be better together. And he talked about life groups and the importance of that. If you missed that message, I would challenge you to go back and watch it. He did just a phenomenal job. It's an incredible message. And today what I want to do is I want to piggyback off of that a little bit, and I want to share about the vision of the church. Because not only is it about spiritual growth, but it's about growth as the body of Christ, the growth as the church as well. So if you've been around Life Change Church, you've probably heard us say this before. We exist to love people to life change. And again, we define life change as a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We exist to love people into that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, that's our mission. But our vision is to see that come through, right? We believe that a growing relationship with Christ is true spiritual growth. But our vision isn't just for it to end within us. It isn't just an internal type of thing, but it's more external, where we can reach others. Because we believe that we're called to grow ourselves, but we're also called to grow the kingdom as well. The truth is, the church is actually supposed to grow numerically, but it's supposed to coincide with growing spiritually as well. And this is why 6 months ago we went to two services, right? We went to two services to create the opportunity for growth while still creating an atmosphere where we can grow through connection, where we can spiritually grow ourselves through connection with others. And our vision isn't just to end with two services. In fact, our vision isn't even to end with services at all. It's so much more than that. It's about community, and it's about even communities. See, the vision of the Life Change Church is actually to become more than just one church. It's become multi-site, where we're planting churches that are sovereign, they're by themselves, but we're also planting churches that are an extension of who we are. We believe that we're called to plant multiple Life Change Churches throughout the Newark area. We believe that we're called to plant multiple Life Change Churches even beyond Newark as well, even throughout Ohio. And that's why I said we're just getting started. Listen, if you stood up in that last area in the 6 months, you're kind of thinking like, man, they did a lot already. Do I have a part to play? Listen, we're just getting started. And it's exciting stuff because you can be a part of us. You can be a part of this and make us better together. We're just getting started. In fact, one of my main prayers over the last few months has been this. Just been this simple prayer. I've been asking God, what's your next step for us? And how can we be obedient? Two simple questions. And then I do my best just to be quiet and to listen and to walk in that path. And as I pray that prayer, this is what I feel God saying. He's saying, you know your vision. You know the vision of the church has basically been the same since we opened up. It's time to start walking through that path. So I believe 2017 and 2018, they're going to be a big years for Life Change Church. There's some big things in store. Because right now what we're doing is we're praying through this process of possible site locations. So even as I've been training for a marathon and I've been running around Newark, listen, there's probably not a single road that I haven't run on. I see these buildings. I see these buildings for sale, and I've just been continuing just to pray for these buildings. And before we do that, we have to have a plan. We have to have some leadership in place too. So what we've been doing is we've been praying through, even as the leadership of this church, praying through a possible leader of those locations. So right now for 2017 and 2018, we've kind of begun this slow process of looking to hire a part-time, what we'll call campus pastor. Well, they'll stay with us for a while, right? Kind of get the DNA, start to build a team, and then we're going to launch them off into a site pastor so that we can make a bigger impact on this community. But we all have to be together because we'll be better together. And we want you to partner with us. Each one of you is a part of this plan. And this is how we can all do this together, right? We need your help to partner with us and to partner by really protecting the unity of the church. By sticking together, going through and chasing after the vision together, right? By sharing in the responsibility of the church. The truth is, we need all of you guys. We need you. We need everyone to invite and to bring others. And then when we invite and bring others, we need to understand that they're going to walk into a welcoming atmosphere. And we do our part by welcoming all that come in the doors, right? And then not only that, We need to continue on to pray for each other, follow up with each other, right? We need to share the responsibility of the church. We also need to serve the church as well. Again, it takes a number of people to make a Sunday morning go off, right? We have serve team applications in the back where you can jump in, but it goes beyond just a Sunday morning, right? We serve the church by really serving others even throughout the week, and then also supporting the church. Supporting the church by attending regularly, making a commitment to show up when the doors are open, making a commitment to show up on Sunday mornings, making a commitment to be a part of the life groups, to be a part of the events that are going on as well. Support the church by attending regularly and support the church by giving. Again, we do all this together. We partner with the church. In fact, next week we actually have what's called our partnership class, which kind of displays this a little bit more. It's at 6 p.m., and I would challenge you, if you haven't come to that class already, make an item on your calendar so you can come and check that out so that we can do this together. And here's what I want us to walk away with today. Here's what I want us to understand. The future is better together. In fact, if you get nothing else, get this. The future is better together. See, as a church, we're called to continually move forward, but it has to happen together. We have to allow God to grow his church through each of us together. Again, that may sound a little crazy, right? That may sound like really we're up against it, but the truth is, this is exactly where the early church found themselves as well. It was their same calling. It was their same responsibility as it is ours. So if you would, what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time looking at the early church in Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 42 through 47. And if you don't have your Bibles, I challenge you again, as always, to download the YouVersion Bible app. You can put it on your phone. It's an incredible resource where you can read your Bible every single day. We've even put challenges out there on Facebook where we put Bible plans out there for you to read throughout the week, because we don't want you just to read your Bible on a Sunday morning, but we want you to read it every single day. But if you have that or your Bible, go with me to Acts chapter 2. And in this passage of Scripture, it's really, again, it's describing the early church. Here's where they're at. Jesus had come, he had preached, he's built his disciples up, and then he had died on the cross, right? He died on the cross for each of our sins. He died on the cross for the world's sins. And then he was risen from the grave because he conquered death. And then after he was risen, he met with his disciples again, and he encouraged them. In fact, he even commanded them to share the good news, to share what Jesus had done. And then Jesus ascended into heaven, leaving this group of disciples, these people who really, if you look at them, their leadership skills were a little bit different. It wasn't like the top pick of the litter. He left these people to really take on his word, to take on his ministry, and to build the church. But he promised them the Holy Spirit. And what's happening here in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit showed up big time, right? And the Holy Spirit showed up, and then there's 3,000 people who made a commitment to follow Jesus and were baptized. Like, talk about some growth. Talk about some future potential. And this is where we're at. But the growth continued because of what they did next, because they remained together. So check this out here in verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you think about this, right? Think about this for a moment. Think about these people. Think about what they had just experienced, right? They experienced 3,000 people making a decision for Christ. And they're going through and they're all together. There was this sense of awe, right? There was this sense of extreme excitement. Like, they were pumped up. Again, in verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. God was on the move, and he was on the move big time, and everyone around them knew it, right? They just stood in awe. And I think when we stand in awe, when things are going on that are beyond anything we can do, there's kind of this simplicity that overcomes us as well. For them, the simplicity meant that they remained together and had everything in common. For them, it wasn't about competition, but it was about completion. And in the kingdom of God, both the big C church and the little C church, it's never about competition, but it's always about completion. And if you think about it, it's a simpler, it's a more pure way of thinking. And this is where the early church found themselves. In the heart of it, I think this is where we probably found ourselves at times as well. Listen, if you stood up as a part of our launch team, like there was a sense of awe that overcame us, right? The first Sunday, the fact that we were even able to launch a church, there is a sense of awe that kind of overcame us, right? And then not only that, just a handful of us, was as our launch team, we invited everybody we knew. We invited our friends, we invited our family. So our launch day, we had like over 150 people in attendance, which was huge. We're thinking like, this is amazing, right? Now, most of those people actually had their own home churches at that time, and we've never been going out to steal people from churches. That was never our goal. So the next week, man, it came to real life, and then the numbers kind of dwindled, right? So if you were part of us when we were at that other building, you kind of remember that. You remember when there's less people around. It was a kind of a simpler time. We could do life together a little bit easier because we knew everything about everyone. Sometimes that was a little scary, but really it was a simpler time. There was something pure about that as well. So if you stood up during tap time, you kind of remember that simple and pure way of thinking. And then maybe you stood up a part of us when we first moved into this building. When we first moved into this building, it was incredible. God was doing some, and still is doing some amazing things. But we saw new people every single Sunday. In fact, just in a few months, we had outgrown one service in this building. So we had to go to two services. I was just talking to a family this past week, and they were talking about how when they came in, right when we were at one service, they're like, it was amazing. Like, we felt like we just came into a train that was flying full speed, and we were holding on for dear life, right? It was amazing. We sat in awe. And then maybe you've come in the last 6 months where there are two services and you're kind of trying to figure out where you kind of feel, right? You're trying to figure out, man, do I feel in awe? Do I feel like there's some simplicity to this or whatever? Hopefully it's both, right? Hopefully that's what you experience because that's what the early church experienced and that's how they saw growth. I think the problem is too many times we stop this way of thinking. Too many times it really becomes easy to become numb and to have this lack of awe. It becomes easy really just to not to celebrate the things that God's done, right? For many of us, I think it's easy to forget that in just 3 years as a church, we've seen over 150 people make a decision for Christ. In just 3 years as a church, we've seen 37 people get water baptized, right? In 3 years as a church, we've seen over 300 first-time guests. And it all started with just a dream. It all started with just a handful of people thinking like they could do something, that God could work in through each and every one of us, right? It was a crazy thought. In fact, when we told people what we're doing, they're like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work out, man. But God continued to work. But I think too many times we fall into this feeling of just becoming numb, and we lose this sense of awe which we're created to experience. It's a trap, really, we easily fall into. And then sometimes we even become complacent as well. We see all that, and then we think, you know what? Man, we're really good. We can just relax a little bit. We can slack off a little bit. But the truth is, we're still called to move forward. We're not called to become complacent. In our personal lives, we're called to move forward. As a church, we're called to move forward. Listen, I never want us to be comfortable as a church here. I share a vision because we're going to plant other churches. Some of you are already thinking, like, dude, that is weird. Like, I don't know. That's scary. It's not a safe place. Like, Corbin, like, look around. I know, like, this is our birthday celebration, first service. Let's hope everybody's coming to the second service. You're a little, let's just be honest, right? You're thinking through that. But we're going to push it a little bit further because we're never really called to be comfortable. We're never called to be complacent. We have to move on. And when we become complacent, what it does, it robs us from all that God wants us to experience. It robs us from that feeling that God wants us to completely experience. So I think too many times we become complacent and it robs us of this. And then too many times I think we really, if we're honest, we just overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate things in our life. We overcomplicate things even in the church, right? You look at the church, the early church, they had this sense of purity. They had this sense of simplicity. You look back, do we really have that? I think we've probably experienced it like from times to times. But really, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we're held back because of our own busyness. I think we're held back because of our own self-made time constraints, right? We're held back because of these things that we do that really keep us even in isolation. The simplicity that the early church had was that they had everything in common. Again, verse 44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. To have everything in common means that they're sharing everything. Not only possessions, not only material items, but also their inner feelings, also their emotions, the things that they're going through, their struggles, their past sins, their mistakes, their future dreams, sharing everything in common. I think for many of us, we really allow our insecurities to keep us from ever getting to that place, to ever fully experiencing that simplicity, right? For many of us, we're holding on to this unconfessed sin that we feel like we can never share with somebody because we think they're going to judge us. And what it's doing is keeping us from being in common with others. For many of us, we're holding on to this unforgiveness, right? We're holding on to these unresolved issues instead of having everything in common. And it's robbing us from our future. It keeps us in isolation, and it steals us from really what God has created us to experience. The future is better together. If you look at the early church, they grasped this, and they lived it out. Yet honestly, if you look at the early church, logically, it made no sense of how they even made it. I mean, the people that looked at us and thought we were crazy for starting a church, they looked at these disciples and they looked at the early church and it was even worse, right? They're thinking like, you, not like for us, I mean, what's going to happen? We could start and we could have failed and then we'd have to go back and we'd have to just go find another church. But for the early church, their result, if they failed, it was death, right? This was even terrible. Like this is, for them, it was just beyond anything. There's no reason they really even should have survived. But the reason they did was because of the power of Jesus brought them together and they became better together and they believed the future was better together. And we are here today because they lived it out and we can live it out as well. And to live this out, this is what we first have to do. We have to connect. We have to be intentional with spending time with others and we have to be intentional with connecting with God and spending time with God as well. Again, if you look at the early church in Acts 2:42, it says this. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves. To devote themselves means that they were intentional, right? They were intentional with connecting with others. They were intentional even in the way they connected as well, which makes the difference. So they devoted themselves to the teaching. They were connected to the word. They were connected to the teachings. They were connected to what God was saying to them. If they could find something where God was speaking through, whether it was, they were connected to it. For us, we need to be connected to the teachings as well. Meaning we need to be connected on Sunday mornings, engaging in, making a priority to show up, right? For us, it means that we need to be connected to our Bible. Whether you use a regular Bible or the Bible app, we need to be opening it up every single day, right? We need to have our personal daily Bible reading. For us, we need to be connected with others even outside the church, even outside these church walls, but we will be the church outside of it, right? So we need to be connected through life groups. But we need to devote ourselves to the teachings. We also need to devote ourselves to fellowship. The early church devoted themselves to fellowship where they connected with each other. Again, when we actually built this building, again, this is just a building. We are the church. But when we built this building, that wall right there wasn't there. It was just one giant sanctuary. We built that wall so that we could create a space where people could connect with each other. We did that intentionally. But we want that to go beyond just these walls, right? We want to connect with each other outside church as well. And I know many of you, you guys do this, and it's amazing to see. It's awesome to see because it does. It goes beyond that, and we have to connect with others. And then it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. This is really where you combine the two, connecting with God and connecting with others. For us, this is communion. We celebrate communion once a month here at Life Change, but it goes beyond that. There's no rhyme or reason why we do once a month. It says do it as often. We could do it every single Sunday. But I challenge you even, maybe do it with your friends. Have communion with your friends outside church walls. That's okay, and you should do that. You should take some time to remember Christ and what he's done for you while you're connecting with others as well. And maybe for you that means you just need to connect and to really think through that and take that a little bit more seriously as well. But connect through communion by connecting with God and others. And then finally it says connect with God through prayer. Be intentional about praying. And this says pray without ceasing. This means that we can pray any time of the day, right? I would say if you're driving, keep your eyes open, but that's all right, right? You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to have your eyes closed to pray. Listen, that's a great posture to pray, and you should do that sometimes, but there's times where, and you just need to talk to God while you're walking through your day. You need, whether it's at your office and you're stressed out, instead of carrying that yourself, give it to God right at that moment. Whether it's somebody where you're driving and somebody cuts you off, guess what? That's a good time to pray and ask for God's direction. There's good times where you just need to pray and continue to pray. Stay connected with God. Connect with God through prayer. Again, Sunday evenings, tonight, we have prayer at 6 p.m. It's an amazing way to start your Sunday off. And I want to challenge you to come tonight, 6 p.m. There is childcare provided as well. But think about this. Our first step to live this out, to have a future better together, is to connect. And maybe you need to devote yourself to connecting with others. Maybe for you, Maybe it's time to really read the Bible more regularly. Maybe for you, it's maybe to spend time with other people from this church, even outside church, to build those relationships with people in this church. Maybe for you, it's to take communion and to take it a little bit more seriously. Right? Or maybe it's even to come to prayer tonight. But my challenge for you to do this is to connect. And then number two is to grow. To experience the future God has for you means that you actually need to grow. We all need to grow, and we need to do it intentionally. We need to place ourselves in atmospheres that change who we become, that change who we become for the better, and change who we become to draw us closer to Christ. I heard it once said, the only difference between you and the future you is the books you read, the people you meet, and the things you experience. The books you read, the people you meet, and the things you experience. Are you being intentional about those things in your life? Are you reading the Bible and allowing it to change and transform you? Are you spending time with people who allow and help you to grow? Are you experiencing things that will leave you, forcing you to grow, that will leave you in awe and forcing you to grow? Again, this is where the early church lived. Go back to Acts 2:43. It says that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They were filled in awe with awe about what God did. They were placing themselves in an area that was allowing them to grow, that was stretching them beyond anything they'd ever experienced before. For us, what we do at Life Changes is we do life groups. Life groups are intentionally in place so that we can grow. And there's some amazing things that happen in life groups, right? The books we read, the people we meet, and the things we experience. Life groups encompass all three of those things. They're intentional ways to grow, and there's amazing things. Community happens within life groups. There's struggles that people are set free from within life groups. There's new life given. There's new life and giving habits that are created within life groups. There's people with you that are walking life with you, and they're also praying with you through life groups. It's an amazing atmosphere where you can stand in awe of what God is doing and can help you grow. And I want to challenge you to sign up today. Daryl talked about this last week, but we'll kick in a little bit more. If you have your handout, you have a handout in there. It goes over each life group. Maybe for you, maybe you need a place when you're in a financial struggle and you need to grow in that area. We have financial peace. Maybe there's an area where you just need to connect with others and read another book. Out of the Salt Shaker is another one of those. If maybe for you, maybe it's a physical thing. Yes, we actually have a physical life group going on. It's CrossFit, and I'm going to stay really far away from it. But there's a book study with it, Train for Something Greater. Right? Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to take that step and to do that as well. Maybe for you, it's just how to study the Bible. Maybe for you, you need some people to keep you kind of accountable. There's actually a discussion-based group called Life Share. There's also a group for couples. So maybe you're married or newly married or just married. There's a group called Blend. It's a book study of you and me forever. I would challenge you to do that. And there's also a group for the Change of Lifers. So this is ladies, different age groups. I'll leave it there. And there's another women's group called Breathe, right? So it's a book study. Maybe for you, you need to just read another book and allow you to grow. You need people in your life. I would challenge you to do that. And you can sign up a couple different ways. The first option is the back of the connection card. The area it says, God is asking me to, all you have to do is put the life group in there and we'll get you connected in. Or you can also go online, which has more information about the life groups, whether they have childcare or whether they don't have childcare, all that information. www.mylifechangechurch.com/lifegroups, and then just hit contact us, put all your information in there, and in the message, just put the group name that you want to be a part of. There's easy ways to sign up. Sign up today because these start this week. In fact, even during the in-between services, you're going to see if you want to put a face to the life group, the life group leaders will have a balloon that used to have helium in it, but the helium died. So they will be holding a balloon, and it's probably be down after. So if they have a white balloon, look for them. That will be your life group leader, so you can kind of connect with them as well. But the next thing is to grow, and then the third item is to give. The truth is we were actually created to give. It's part of our purpose. We were designed in the image of God. And again, God gave the greatest gift of all. God gave us Jesus to live a perfect life for each and every one of us, died on a cross to pay our penalty for our sins, and then he was risen again. That was God's gift to us, the greatest gift that mankind's ever seen. But yet we're created in the image of God, so we're called to give as well. Our purpose is to help others. Our purpose is to serve others. Our purpose is to give to others. And when we live this out, we will experience the life that God intended for us. Giving moves us from being selfish to selfless. And the early church understood this, and it's why they were better together. Again, Acts 2:45, it says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They sacrificed their abundance to help others. They sacrificed what they had to help others, and we need to do the same thing. Maybe for you, what you have, maybe your abundance, or maybe what you have, maybe you have possessions, or maybe you have money. If that's you, give it. Maybe for you, maybe you have time. Maybe you have talents. Listen, if that's you, give it. Serve. The early church became better because they gave together. Think through that. What is God asking you to give? Maybe he's asking you to make a commitment to regularly give to the church. Do it. Maybe God's asking you to make a commitment to give of your talents and to serve at the church. Do it. You can sign up at the connection desk back there. There's serve team applications where you can jump in today. Maybe God's asking you to give of your time and to make a commitment to attend regularly. Do it. Give of yourself and give to others. And then number four is replicate. It's really doing this over and over again, right? Repeating steps 1 through 3. Continuing to connect. Continuing to give. Continuing to grow. And then teaching others to do the same thing. Replicate. And this is where results happen. You look at the early church and what they experienced when they did this. This is what happened. Verse 46. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Right? They continued steps 1 through 3. And then it says this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every day they continued to do the same. They met together. They broke bread. They praised God. And then the Lord added to the number of those who were being saved. The kingdom grew. And we're here today because of that. Because they continued to do this. The future was better together because they continued together. Think about your life. How can you make this happen today? How can you teach and lead others to connect, to grow, to give, and to replicate? Again, next Sunday night, our partnership class, we go over this because we're in this together. And I'll challenge you to show up at 6 p.m. But we're called to connect, grow, give, and replicate. And when we do, crazy things happen. God works in and through each of us. I mean, think about it. What would happen if we lived this out? What if we spent time intentionally connecting with God and others? What if we spent time intentionally growing in our own lives? What if we spent time giving of ourselves? And what if we became selfless? What if we continued this way of life and even replicated it in others? And then what if we did it all together? Imagine what would happen. Imagine that future. Truth is, it would be a church where a person could come in who was thinking about leaving his wife and his family, who had no relationship with Christ, where they could come in, they could find Jesus, have that relationship, and restore their life. They could restore their relationships, right? It could be a place where a lady could come in who's been divorced, who has past decisions and mistakes in her life, that they're carrying this burden, this guilt, and this shame, and they're really in a funk, right? They could come in and they could find the peace of Christ that only Christ can give. It'd be a place where a couple who felt like they had no community could come in and they could find a place where they felt at home with their true father, with God, and in a church family. It'd be a place where somebody who's struggling in mountains and mountains of debt could come in and learn how to be a steward and even live debt-free. Truth is, those stories, they're stories that's already happened within this church, and we're just getting started because the future is better together. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for celebrating 3 years as a church, and we thank you for what you've done. It's only been by your power and allowing us to work together, God, and I ask that you continue to help us, God. I ask that you continue to help us to move forward together, God. God, I pray that you be with each and every one of us. Help us to continue to connect with you and to connect with others. Help us to grow in you, God, to grow in your word and to grow with others as well. And then help us to give, God. Help us to become selfless by giving of ourselves. And then help us to replicate it so that the kingdom, God, the kingdom will expand in your name, God. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us today and we thank you for what you're going to do in the future because it's only just begun. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.